So, right, let's get started by cruising the universe of exchange-traded funds and ex-trackers to find out the best of the best. And it's a great pleasure to welcome in studio Len Jordan, Head of Distribution for StanLib's Index Trackers. Len, good to talk to you again.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
And in studio as well is Gareth Stobie, MD of CoreShares. Gareth, real pleasure to have you on the panel.
Yes, thanks, Michael.
And on the line, we've got Yusuf Wadi, who heads up RMB's passive investments business. Yusuf, great to have you on the show. Yusuf, are you there? Well, we appear not to have Yusuf. We'll try and get him back on the line, but we can get going anyway. Two out of three isn't bad. While it's tough for local fund managers or global fund managers to outperform the SWIX, it's really, according to Morningstar, almost impossible, because looking at the latest Morningstar data or awards, there are 20 eligible global equity funds available in RANDs on local platforms and offshore funds registered from houses such as Franklin and Ashburton and Templeton, really the big names, and only one. The Old Mutual Global Equity Fund could beat a humble index tracker, the DBX Tracker's MSCI World Index Exchange Traded Fund. And I think that was very interesting. So just as a bit of context for the discussion tonight, Len, let's start with you. Your first choice, which has yet to be launched, I believe, so you've heard it here first, folks, is the StanLib Inflation-Linked Bond Index Tracker Fund. Why an inflation-linked bond tracker now?
Well, I actually think now's as good a time as any to launch an inflation-linked bond fund. Inflation-linked bonds do provide you with a perfect hedge against inflation, and I think that's key right now. You know, South Africa's kind of bottomed out from an inflation perspective, and certainly all the bright minds are saying that inflation's only going one way from here, particularly with our weak currency and, you know, the increasing salary bill from the state, and those kind of things will lead to increased inflation going forward. And I think the dangerous thing particularly is that it's going to be in an economy that isn't growing. So we're going to have inflation, but you're not going to have growth from the economy.
The dreaded stagflation.
The dreaded stagflation, yes. So it's more of a cost push inflation rather than demand pull. And I think that it's probably a very good time for investors to start hedging against that inflationary, you know, those inflationary pressures are the biggest destroyers of wealth.
So what they would give for a bit of inflation in the US and Europe right now. Can't we just ship some over there? Talk to me about the index tracker. Which bonds does the fund track?
So it tracks 15 government bonds. There are corporates that issue inflation-linked bonds as well. And we did consider including those, but the problem with those is that they're not really liquid enough to include in an index fund. So if you want exposure to those kind of funds, you need to look for an active manager. But if you're looking for cheap exposure that gives you very simple a hedge against inflation, then we think that our fund is the perfect vehicle to do that.
You mentioned cheap. What is the cost to access an index tracker like this?
So the total expense ratio, if you're buying it through a platform, is 25 basis points, but then you're going to incur the platform fee as well. If you're buying it directly from StanLib, obviously we have to do some additional administration then, so we charge a premium over that, which brings the total to just under 0.5%.
And tracking errors, what sort of tracking error are you comfortable with on this?
The tracking errors should be quite low. You know, bonds don't have the same corporate actions and things like that you have to worry about in equity funds. So we're thinking less than 10 or 15 basis points should be achievable.
Yeah, certainly with a product like that. It sounds like something I think every well-diversified portfolio should be looking at the moment. Right, let's look at our second option. Gareth, your first choice is for all markets at all times, you said, the S&P 500 Vanguard. Tell me a little bit more about this.
The classic ETF. So the S&P 500 was and is the flagship index product in the world. It was first tracked in the 1970s, and today it remains the most tracked index globally. And it's just a wonderful investment. You get access to all of America's big blue chip companies, the 500 biggest companies, and you get exposure to various global markets because those tend to be sort of global giants. So the big thought leaders in the indexing world, John Bogle and the like, would always encourage investors to invest in the S&P 500. And guess what? Would you believe that last year, Warren Buffett, who is the most famous active manager, who all active managers love to sing his praise, he gave a good punt to the S&P 500 Vanguard ETF in particular last year when talking about his estate and times to come. He just thinks it's a very sensible, diversified, low-cost investment, and get exposure to corporate America, but you also get exposure to other global markets.
And a good time to be exposed to corporate America. It's the one market that is showing growth. One caveat to that is that the jobs number last week probably has got a few people questioning what's going on in the U.S. and whether or not we will even see liftoff. But I think that's for a little bit later on in the show if we want to be a little bit contrarian. Tell me how one got accessing the S&P 500.
Well, the S&P 500 isn't available in iMart as yet. Obviously, if you have got your money offshore or it's on an offshore sort of trading platform, there are numerous of S&P 500 ETFs available through, I think there's sort of 30 different ETF firms that track that particular index. But I just love the breadth and diversity that you get through investing through that strategy. But it is the moment for clients who have got money offshore already.
And then once again, I think a clear advantage is a bit of a rand hedge for someone who is slightly short the rand, which I think is most people right now.
Yes, I mean, timing to one side. I mean, you know, calling currencies is a terribly difficult game, particularly in today's times where, you know, the big governments of today, the Chinese and the Americans, seem to be having some sort of currency war with each other. So it's particularly difficult to get a grip on currencies. So I think for repeat investors in particular, if you're looking to put money away on a regular basis, a strategy like that would be great.
Excellent. Yusuf, I believe we've got you on the line. Yusuf Wadi, head of RMB Passive Investments, take two. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. You've gone with the FNB Share Saver, which tracks the top 100 shares on the JSE, which is it's quite interesting. I think a few people might say, well, why the top 100? Why not the top 40?
Yeah, so, I mean, FNB has come up with a product which we think is, you know, is pretty exciting and pretty innovative. You know, what they've done is they've combined two ETFs, two RMB ETFs. So they've combined, as you pointed out, the RMB Top 40 ETF, which gives investors exposure to the top 40 biggest companies on the JSE. And they've combined it with the mid-cap sector, which, you know, as we know, provides a little bit more of that growth. You know, it's a bit more of a growth element that a lot of investors do vie for in their portfolio. And what they've done is they've combined these two ETFs into one product called FNB Share Saver. And however, why I really like this product is that it's not just the what that FNB's brought to the market, it's the how. And what FNB have done, and I think this is a problem, you know, we see with a lot of investors out there, in that they would like to invest in ETFs, but they're not quite sure how. And FNB seems to have cracked this. What they've done is, for FNB clients or people that bank with, FNB, they've created a complete plug-and-play solution into the FNB ecosystem, if I could call it that. So once you're an FNB, once you log into your FNB online banking platform, via a few simple clicks, you know, you can get full exposure to the top 100 shares on the JSE. You know, you can buy it when you like, you can sell it when you like, you can put on a debit order, you can put off a debit order, you know, you can switch off your debit order. So, you know, FNB has really, I think, converted tens of thousands of their clients into passive investors via, I think, a very novel, efficient and smart solution. So for me, I think that, you know, that stands out as something, which certainly makes that my number one pick.
Well, I have interfaced with that FNB app before, and I can vouch for the ease of access, certainly. When one looks at the weighting of that top 100 index, how has it been weighted?
So it's by market cap. It's a classic...
Purely by market cap.
Yes, it's a classic market cap index. So when you buy the top 100 shares, you're buying it as per the market cap weighting. So, you know, the biggest weights go to the top 40 shares and then a little bit less goes to the mid cap. So certainly by market cap. You're buying the market classic. It's a classic ETF.
And in terms of cost?
So FNB charges, I think, in the order of about 0.5% for access to this. I think it scales down with size. But yeah, I mean, the real value add, I think, is the ease with which people, you know, can completely invest or disinvest at really any time they so wish.
Extremely flexible, easy to use, and liquid. Len, your second choice is the Standard Bank Africa Gold ETF. And I had Dr. Jim Rickards on the show last night, a notorious gold bug, and as you know, and he'd certainly be pleased by the selection. Now, why did you choose gold when the dollar is so strong at this moment? And Rickards believes that probably the dollar won't be strong for very much longer, but do you go along with that view?
Yeah, I certainly do. I mean, I've read both of his books. I'm a bit of a disciple of his, so I hope I don't repeat too much of what he said last night. But, I do have a bit of a contrarian view on the data coming out of the States. The Fed seems hell-bent on telling people that it's fantastic, and yet they're not raising rates. So I think that what the Fed's doing is they're looking for inflation, and until they get inflation, they're not going to raise rates. And Rickards probably mentioned this last night, is that he predicts that there's going to be further QE next year, which obviously is detrimental to the dollar. And that's why I've gone with the gold fund, because gold tends to be a very safe asset to run to when everything else looks bad. The dollar is obviously the safest asset in good times, but when things go bad, gold is a good safe haven to run to. So, you know, again, just as a bit of a diversifier, if you are buying Gareth's Vanguard 500, just take a bit of a gold slug with that.
Now, it's exactly what Jim said last night. QE for next year, most likely we won't see any liftoff whatsoever, which is very interesting. And it feeds into what you were saying, Gareth, about the currency wars and what the Fed has been doing since around 2000 and trying to manipulate that strong dollar is really impacting corporate earnings over there. It's also a nice way to access gold without all the layers of management and labor issues and everything else that attracts around a gold company, for example.
Correct. I think most gold companies are struggling at the moment. There's wage talks going on. There's a lot of unrest. And this is a very pure exposure to the metal price. And the metal price tends to be inversely correlated to the dollar. So, you know, when the dollar's weaker, the price of gold will go up. It's a nice pure exposure. You're not having to analyze companies. You don't have problems with mine closures. In fact, the more mines that close, the better it is for the gold price.
Less output. And just in terms of tracking errors and that kind of thing on a commodities type tracker, will it generally be quite low because you've got clear line of sight? Or?
Yeah, so this gives you exposure to an ounce of gold. So there isn't really a tracking area
at all.
No. Yeah. And it's a cost of 30 basis points a year, which would include all the custody that the issuer would incur in holding all of those gold bars.
Brilliant. Gareth, your next two are what you've called tactical choices. And let's start with the local Core Shares Low Volatility ETF. As the name suggests, you're trying to smooth out the VIX a little bit. How does it work?
Yes, so this is the product that Core Shares runs that aims to capture those shares in the market that are low risk, basically, that show periods of low volatility. So what you end up with is 40 stocks within the index that are defined as low risk. So the wonderful thing about the strategy is that you can stay invested in the market, but you're invested in low risk shares, sort of steady eddies, as I call them. What's also remarkable about the strategy, both here and abroad, is that even though you're investing in a low risk or low volatility strategy, you don't sacrifice much from a returns perspective. In fact, the low volatility strategies here and abroad tend to actually outperform the market very often.
Why is that?
Well, it's because the higher risk stocks underperform, basically. So in the market, you have a choice between low risk stocks and high risk stocks, and you pay up for high risk stocks generally. And guess what? The higher risk stocks are often the ones that disappoint you. So you pay a premium for those, and those disappoint often relative to the low risk ones, which perhaps are seen as a little bit boring, but in fact have very steady earnings and so forth, and sort of trend upwards over time. So that's sort of the very basic thesis around low volatility, and it's a great hedge from the market, but staying in the market. So they're kind of the best of both worlds.
Listen, investment should be boring. It should be like watching paint dry. We shouldn't be trying to out-trade the traders 80% of the time who struggle to beat indexes that we're talking about now. We just need to take a short break from this investment panel discussion, which is proudly brought to you by Absa Wealth and Investment Management. To find out more about how they can help you grow and protect your wealth, visit absainvestments.co.za or speak to your financial advisor.
At MyWay, we understand that no two businesses are exactly the same. That's why we give you insurance freedom to choose the type of cover that suits your unique business needs. SMS business to 39432 and we'll call you back for a quote or let our business insurance specialist pay you a visit. Get cover for business vehicles, trailers, goods in transit, all risk, and office contents with MyWay. Why any other way? MyWay is an authorized financial services provider. Standard SMS rates apply.
Welcome back to the Classic Business Investment Panel, which is proudly brought to you by Absa Wealth and Investment Management. And we're talking about the best ETFs and index trackers. I've got Len Jordan, Head of Distribution at Stanlib Index Trackers, Gareth Stobie, MD of CoreShares, and Yusuf Wadi, Head of RMB's Passive Investments. So all throwing their selections into the pot, and we've been stirring it around a bit. And I think there are a few there that I'm certainly going to go and take a nibble at. Yusuf, your second choice is the RMB Fusion Series. What's the RMB Fusion Series? I mean, that sounds like a new range of dishwasher. I don't know. I mean, what is the RMB Fusion Series all about?
Yeah, so what we've done there, and really this was on the back of demand from clients, and I guess the topic of this panel is quite interesting because, I mean, we get the question all the time, you know, clients coming to us going, we love passive investing, but where should we be invested? Should we be in local equities? Should we be in local property? Should we be in offshore bonds? And so what we've actually done to address that is that we've come up with what's called the RMB Fusion Series. Now, this is a range of three unit trust funds. There's a growth fusion fund, there's a moderate fusion fund, and of course, there's a cautious fusion fund. Each fund would exhibit different levels of volatilities. But what we do for each fund, if I can just take the first fund as an example, if I take the RMB Growth Fusion Fund, what we actually do inside that fund is that we hold multiple asset classes